Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. It's a wee bit colder right enough the day, but we'll take that good weather that we've had this week. Just a few intimations before we get started. The joint Kirk session is going to be a week on Tuesday the 12th, and fourth Kirk session will be on Wednesday the 13th. So that's a week come Tuesday and Wednesday for those events. If elders could possibly stay behind for 5 minutes just at the end for a very quick discussion, that would be helpful. We're going into Christian Aid Week from the 10th, it says to the 16th, but ours actually goes on a wee bit longer to the 18th. So we've got our sponsored walk, and the sheets are at the back if you want a sponsor sheet yourself, or if you just want to sponsor church members who are doing the walk. As I say, the sheet's at the back. There'll be your usual collection envelopes, and we're having a bake sale, and there's a quiz and a curry night, and tickets are all available at the back if anybody's interested in any of the events taking place. Our new union will be the first week in, well, it's from the 1st of June, and our union service will be on the 3rd of June. So Robert is going to share a prayer with you a bit later on for us all to pray for our new church going forward. And I think that was everything. Thank you to Neil for ringing the church bells. It was good to hear them again this morning, so thank you.
Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Amen. And let us worship our faithful God by singing together hymn 129, The Lord is King. Hymn 129.
Thank you.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Living God, teach us to know you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we may walk in harmony with his will and share the power of his eternal life through his holy name. Through earth and heaven one song shall ring, the Lord omnipotent is King. Lord God, we sing of your greatness and majesty and come to worship you for all that you are. You are the King of heaven and earth. You are the judge of all. You are the one who created all that there is out of nothing. You are the one who holds the vastness of universes and galaxies in the palm of your hand. You spoke, and it came to be. You commanded, and it stood firm. We simply cannot begin to understand your immensity. We simply cannot conceive of how great you are. Your word is right. Your word is true. You're faithful. You're just. You are righteous. And the earth is full of your unfailing love. As we think of your glory and your power, it's incredible to us that you could be bothered with all the stuff of our little lives. And yet, you are our Father. You tell us that you have our names written in the palm of your hands. And you encourage us to come boldly before your throne of grace, to find mercy, to help us in our times of need. So we come this morning. We come to confess our failures. We come to confess our wrongdoing, our sin. We come to confess our disobedience, to confess our lukewarmness and half-heartedness to you. And we acknowledge our need of grace and forgiveness. For we have nothing in ourselves. There is nothing in us that could make us right with a holy and righteous God. There is nothing that we can bring or do that could make us good enough to come to you. We confess that we have not always served you as we should. We've not always been gracious to one another. We have not always trusted and obeyed you. Many times we have heard that small quiet voice within us urging us to do something, and we've ignored it. We've disobeyed it because it was easier to go our own way, because our comfort and ease is often our greatest concern. We've cared and thought more about ourselves than we have for those around us, than we have for our world, than we have your honour and glory. And so we confess of our failings and repent of our sin. And we thank you that because of Jesus, because of his death for us, we can find grace, we can find forgiveness. And we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you walk by us day by day, teaching us, encouraging us, rebuking us, helping us. We pray that you would help us now to give all our concerns and preoccupations to you. Help us to lift up our minds and hearts to you. Help us to focus our thoughts on you in this hour of worship. Help us to bring you our true praise and worship. Speak to us now. Show us more of who you are, more of how you would want us to live. Show us more of your grace and love. For you know the needs of our hearts. You know the touch we need of your love and comfort. You know that we need encouragement and strength. So come by your Spirit and help us draw close to you in this time of worship. We bring our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Morning, girls. How are we this morning? Good? Good. Right, well, I brought some... Well, I think they're actually Jenga bricks or building bricks. So I thought we might try and build a tower this morning. Do you fancy helping? Okay, well, I'll start it off and then you could come and... Just want to come up and see how high they can get the tower to go. Okay. Right, just put them on. If you build on top of it. Try again. Can add some more. Right, doing quite well here. It's beginning to look a wee bit shuggly, isn't it? Right, I think we'll do another couple and then I think that's going to be high enough. Right, just want to put another one on. Ah! Right. Okay. I think that'll do. Okay. Hey, thanks very much, girls. Right, we've got a tower here. And we've built the tower with these building blocks. And I'll put some more on. So, what do you think would happen if I took one of the bricks at the top off? Would the tower fall down? No, it wouldn't. No. So you can take these ones off. And you can add more at the top. But what do you think might happen if I pulled some of the ones from the bottom out? Oops. Not yet. Try this one. Not yet. If I pull this one out, whole thing falls down. So that one there is the most important stone in our little building, isn't it? It's like the foundation stone. So there's a passage in the Bible that I'm going to be looking at with the adults this morning where Peter, who was one of the disciples, and he left a letter that was written later on, and he called Jesus a cornerstone. Now, in olden times, the cornerstone is a bit like that last stone we pulled out. It was the most important stone in the building because it held up the whole of the structure. So it, as I say, was the most important stone in the building because if you pull that out, the whole building would fall down. And the foundation stone, or the cornerstone as it was called, had to be strong with no hidden weaknesses and no cracks so that it could support the huge weight of the whole structure of the house or the palace or the city wall. So that was the most important stone in the building. And in the passage that we'll be looking at with the adults later on, Peter tells us that Jesus is our cornerstone, that Jesus is like that last stone we pulled out there, that he is the stone that we should build our lives on, that Jesus, that without Jesus, anything that we try to do in our lives, although it might get so far, will eventually crumble and fall down. So when we try to build our lives, we don't build our lives in Jesus, it will eventually fall down like the Jenga bricks have done. So just remember that Jesus is the most important thing in our lives and is the foundation of everything that we do. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to be like a strong cornerstone in which we can build our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And before you go back through to Paul's, we will sing hymn 523, Hands to Work and Feet to Run. Hymn 523. Mandy will now come forward and share this morning's Bible passages with us.
This morning's readings, the first one comes from Acts verses 7-4, verses 8-1. Our ancestors had the tabernacle of the covenant law with them in the wilderness. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern he had seen. After receiving the tabernacle, our ancestors under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It had remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favour and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands, as the prophet said. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are all uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him, and who have received the law that was given through the angels but have not obeyed it. When the members of Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God. As they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The second reading this morning comes from Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Like unborn babies, gave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God throughout Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they are destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called out to you darkness and into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen.
Thank you, Mandy. We continue our worship with hymn 606, "Lord, You Sometimes Speak in Wonders." Hymn 606. Let us pray. Most High, we come to you now to hear your word, to hear about Jesus Christ, our way, our truth, our life, to hear him read and proclaimed. Break open our hearts to let in your light, that we may listen, and that listening we may understand, and that understanding we may follow. Amen. There's been some recent research by the National Literacy Trust which has showed that over the past few years there has been a significant decline in the number of parents reading to their children, especially since 2019. Apparently, it's down from a daily percentage of about 66% or two-thirds down to less than half. And this has an impact on young children because it teaches them to enjoy reading. And many parents regard teach reading now as something to be learned rather than something to be done for pleasure. And the number of children reading for pleasure has dropped by nearly a third over the past couple of decades. So these are a significant decline. And you might wonder why it's important. And the importance is that many experts say that regular reading with children boosts language development, vocabulary, and mental well-being. Reading is important both for children and adults. When my boys were young, I used to really enjoy reading to them at bedtime. Books teach us so much, not just the classics like Shakespeare and Burns and Dickens. Even children's books have the capacity to open our minds and make us think. For instance, I used to love reading the Thomas the Tank Engine stories. They're actually very moral. Whenever the engines misbehave, disaster follows, and they're always found out. You would probably expect this because they were written by a Church of England minister. And it was a sad day when they got too old for Thomas the Tank Engine. I also like the Winnie the Pooh stories. And there's a passage that always stuck out in my mind about Eeyore, who you may remember as the rather depressed old donkey and one of Winnie the Pooh's friends. And the passage in particular I always remember was in chapter 4 of Winnie the Pooh, where we find that Eeyore the donkey stood by himself in the corner of the forest, his feet well apart, his head to one side, and thinking about things, as the author tells us. Sometimes he thought to himself, sadly, why? And sometimes he thought, wherefore? And sometimes he thought, inasmuch. The donkey thought, why? And it made me think that that's a question that at one time or another, all of us will have asked ourselves. It's a significant question. It's about the most basic of all human subjects. Why? Why are we here? Where are we going? And what's the reason? What's the purpose of it all? Human beings need a purpose. We need a meaning for life. We have a need for a foundation on which to build our lives, to support our lives, a framework or structure that helps us make sense of our lives. Some years ago, a newspaper columnist wrote an article called Life's Great Riddle and No Time to Find the Meaning. And he wrote, to put it bluntly, have I the time to discover why I was born before I die? I have not managed to answer the question yet. And however many years I have before me, there's certainly not as many as there are behind. There's an obvious danger in leaving it too late. Why do I have to know why I was born? Because, of course, I am unable to believe that it was an accident. And if it wasn't one, it must have meaning. Human beings need to know that their lives are not just accidents. That there is a meaning and a purpose underpinning it all. That there's a meaning and a purpose that is the foundation of our lives. We have a need for meaning. It's almost hardwired into the system, part of who and what we are. It's part of who and what we are is to ask questions. And most of the major religions and philosophies have tried to answer these questions, but the answers are not always satisfactory. Some years ago, King Charles is reported to have said that despite all the advances in science, there remains deep in the soul, if I dare to use that word, a persistent and unconscious anxiety that something is missing, some ingredient that makes life worth living. many other activities that people use to try and make their lives worth living. There are those who try and avoid the question, who try and crowd it out. Sometimes a workaholic is doing this, filling up their days with business to drown out the questions, to drown out the noise. Others do it through the frantic pursuit of leisure or of enjoyment. Others still dull the ache with alcohol or drugs. There are those who give answers that relate to themselves, to survival. Some social scientists think that human behaviour can be explained as strategies to make sure that as a species we survive. Others claim that the purpose of life is simply to transmit our genes to the next generation. Others try and achieve great things in their lives. They want to be someone. They want to get on in the world. They want to exercise power. They want to make their mark on the world. As I mentioned, some look to enjoyment, to find as much pleasure in life as possible. Fulfillment is the answer for some, to try and reach their potentials as people. Others would find their purpose in focusing on what they can do for others, very laudable. Others look to their families, trying to do their best for their families, to give them the best start in life that they can. Service, helping, and giving to other people are laudable purposes, but this still doesn't answer the question. Some see themselves in ways that they form part of a bigger process, the bigger picture, and that gives purpose to their lives, living out the role that society gives them. As a worker, a wife, a father, for them the purpose in life is to fulfil that role. And then there are those who believe in fate, that everything is predetermined, that we must follow the path that has been laid down to us by forces beyond our control, whether it's in the stars or in tea leaves, or in whatever way they try and work out how their life has been mapped out for them, something that was done before they were born. We all need an answer to these questions. We need something to give us a solid footing in life, a foundation on which to build, a foundation to work from, a good base to set out from, something secure and reassuring. Trouble is, none of the answers that I've briefly mentioned are reliable or as solid as we'd want them to be. Families fall apart, relationships break down, people lose their jobs, or others get the promotions that they wanted, and they don't achieve their ambitions. Pleasures fade or pale, or society no longer thinks that the role we occupy is important. And even if things do go the way we want, there can be a moment when we stop and think, what has it all been for? Work, family, helping others. They all provide answers to these questions, but none of them provide the answer. They provide a foundation, but not the bedrock we need to often leave us standing on shaky ground. The Apostle Peter knew what it meant to be on shaky ground. He had been with Jesus from almost the very beginning, from the very start. Jesus had trusted him. He was one of the inner circle among the disciples, privileged to be given teaching and instruction that the rest of the disciples were not privy to. He seemed to be marked out as a leader. Yet, when the crunch came, when Jesus was arrested, Peter found that his courage and his self-confidence was not enough, and he ran away. He ran away. He abandoned his Lord and Master. He abandoned his friend. When the crunch came, Peter found out that what he had based his life on could not be relied on, his own courage and determination and self-sufficiency. Yet, it was at that time, at the lowest moment in his life, that he found the true foundation for his life. As he was to write years later, that foundation was the living stone, Jesus himself. He found that Jesus was the one who could be relied on, that Jesus was the cornerstone. And just as the cornerstone was the most important stone in the building, supporting the building, uniting the mass together, so Jesus would do the same for him and his life. He was the one, Jesus was the one, that when all else failed, would remain solid and reliable. And like Peter, we too can build our life on the foundation of Jesus. As Christians, we are called to build our life on the foundation of Jesus. As Christians, we endeavour to build our life on the foundation of Jesus. And if Jesus is the foundation, what are we to build? What are we to make of ourselves and our lives? This too is a question that Peter answers when he speaks of the superstructure of the materials that are to be put upon Jesus. As Christ, the foundation, is a living stone, the living stone, so too are we to be living stones, part of a living temple, dedicated to God, and with Jesus as the foundation and the cornerstone, we are to build on the solid foundation and the utter faithfulness of Christ. For Christians, for us, being built up upon such a foundation is an exciting prospect. For the house to be part of the household of faith, no longer individuals, but part of one much larger whole. And the building depends on those living stones. Living stones in every generation. Living stones which continue to be added to the great living temple of worship and praise that we are all part of. Like stones, we are to be strong in our faith. A faith which is to be dynamic and alive. But what sort of stones are we? There's an old story about Michelangelo. You're bound to have heard it. He was busy in his workshop one day with his latest sculpture when a visitor asked him what he was doing, and his somewhat sarcastic answer was, "I am releasing the angel trapped in the stone." If we are to take our place in the living temple that Jesus is building, we must allow the master craftsman to carve us and shape us into the people he wants us to be, the people God intended us to be from the very beginning, to release the angels trapped inside the stone of our lives, so that each stone in the structure will fit perfectly together, and in the foundation of Jesus we will find, we have found, our true purpose in life. It's not easy. Nothing worthwhile in life ever is. As the rough stone is shaped to take its proper place in the building, it's hammered and chiselled, and bits of it are smashed away. It's measured and inspected and tested to see if it can take the strain. And so it is with us. With his life as hammer and chisel, Jesus shapes us for the invisible temple. Things we have will have to be chipped off. Perhaps it will be the pain and hurts of wounds from the past, buried deep in our hearts. It may be the hopes and ambitions that do not fit in with Jesus' plans for our life. It may mean taking risks for the faith, being called to work in places or areas where we may get hurt, where we may be despised. Revealing angels is no easy task, but the end result will be well worth the prospect, well worth the effort. In a reading from Acts, we find an example of another living stone. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the young man condemned to die for preaching the new gospel of Christ, standing, looking up into heaven, as stones of hatred, misunderstanding, misplaced zeal, and religious indignation are hurled at his head. In that moment of death, of execution, we see how his faith in Jesus fixes him securely, even as he is being murdered. Unlike his master before him, he forgives his enemies, and then that forgiveness proves the reality of his faith. In Jesus, Stephen found the great master spring of all his being. Jesus was the rock on which Stephen stood, even as he was being killed for that faith in Jesus. Stephen had found purpose and meaning and the answers to all his questions. Stephen knew why he was here, what life was for, and with a vision of heaven, the heaven that he knew was going to be with Jesus, he died knowing where he was going. In Jesus, we are to find the purpose and meaning of our lives. In Jesus, we find the purpose and meaning of our lives. Amen. And to God be the glory, now and forever. Hymn 739, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ its Lord. 739. We worship God in the offering. At the start of the service, Margaret mentioned a special prayer that has been written for all three of the congregations that will be becoming part of the new congregation of Carnwath, Castres and Forth Church. I will use it as the prayer of dedication, both to dedicate the offering and to dedicate each of us here in Forth to making the new union work and be successful, and a foundation for the spreading of the gospel in this area. And you'll all be given a copy of the prayer when you leave the church this morning. And I would encourage you that in the days and weeks ahead, as we approach the union, as we approach this new phase in the life of us as the people of God in this place, that you pray this prayer on a regular basis. So our prayer for the union and for dedication. Father God, we come before you with grateful hearts. Thank you for the journey that has brought our three churches together. Help us to see not what we're leaving behind, but the greater work you're calling us toward. In this season of change, we seek your wisdom and peace. Guide our leaders with clarity and compassion to seek your will. Fill our congregation with patience, humility and love. Help us to put one another before ourselves as we grow together as a new church family. May our worship be united in spirit, our service strengthened by the shared purposes, and our fellowship enriched by the diversity of our gifts. Lord, weave us together into one body, rooted in Christ, led by your Spirit, and shining as a beacon of hope to our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Karen will now come forward for the prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Loving God, as we come to you with thankful hearts, we thank you for the wonderful planet Earth and the enjoyment of springtime, with new fresh leaves in the trees and new life budding all around us. Help us to feel your presence through the warmth of the sunshine. Only you, God, can create something so beautiful, which provides for our every need. We thank you for our families, our friends, and secure, comfortable homes. We ask for your forgiveness for our sinful ways, when we are selfish, uncaring, or when we take for granted all you provide us with and forget how blessed we are. Cleanse our hearts and refresh our souls and help us remember your presence in our daily lives. We ask for peace in the world and pray the leaders of the nations will act more in love than hatred and fear. Change hardened hearts and help them know your wisdom and compassion, that they will work towards peaceful solutions in the near future. With you, Lord, nothing is impossible. We pray for your help and strength for those who have lost their homes, their families and friends through conflict and war. Please give them fresh courage and renewed hope. When many people are struggling with mental or physical illness, we ask for your healing for each of them to ease their pain and anxieties. Strengthen the doctors, the nurses and carers, and enable them to bring hope and healing to their patients. We pray for those who have lost loved ones and are finding life difficult. Comfort them in their pain and help them know you give us hope that we will meet them again. We pray for all teenagers as they set their exams over the next few weeks. Protect them from fear, anxiety and stress. Give them confidence to do their best and to know they are valued no matter what the outcome. We thank you, Lord, for our new members to our church. Protect and bless each of them and help them to seek out their special gifts and talents to further your kingdom. Help us to nurture and care for them as they grow in their faith and knowledge of you. We pray for our church congregation as we prepare to join with Carnwath and Kirstiers churches. Help us to work together in a manner worthy of your calling, with humility, gentleness and patience, to maintain unity and peace. Help us to do all things through your guidance, wisdom and love, trusting you and praying about everything. We pray for all who volunteer, who give up their free time to help do your work. Encourage and strengthen each of them and help them know they are deeply valued and appreciated. Pour all your blessings upon us, Lord, as we face the week ahead. Protect us from all evil and show us the right path to follow as you lead us in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn this morning is 554, Rock of Ages, hymn 554. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day, henceforth, and evermore.